Hello, and welcome to the Architects of Destination Advocacy podcast from Destinations International, the trade association representing destination organizations around the globe, brought to you exclusively by Relic Agency as part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network. I'm your host, Andreas Weisenborn, and welcome you for checking out our podcast. For each episode, we want to tell the story of both usual and unusual suspects in our sector's history and the key advocacy moments for them. These stories are meant to tell the tale in full, covering many of our strategic issues and opportunities our sector faces, whether it be community alignment, destination stewardship, resilience, or actions based on values. We hope you listen in and learn from your peers. With that, let's get to the show.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back. First and foremost, you can tell a little bit of my voice is a little bit down and out, and that's because I have to acknowledge an incredible 2023 annual convention in Dallas. First and foremost, thank you so much to the Visit Dallas team and also my fellow Destinations International team. It was wonderful meeting with so many of you in Dallas. I've heard nothing but rave reviews. You can tell by my voice. I have been talking and talking and talking, but I'm very much looking forward to excited for this conversation. I couldn't miss it. But just want to quickly acknowledge the events for us are not finished. We announced at the end of June all our fall events happening in October in Little Rock. So please make sure to check out our website for our first ever EDI Summit, the returning Business Operations Summit, and of course, one of my favorites, the Advocacy Summit. All right now, open for registration on our website at destinationsinternational.org. So let's get on to the show. Today's conversation and guest to the show is going to be a different take on probably the word of the year for 2023, with ChatGPT and large language model AIs, that is. As a listener of the show, we often talk about tales of advocacy of both the past and present, but today is one hypothetical for a near-term future. This isn't going to be your typical talk around AI that we have heard in our sector, but instead, all about understanding how AI can be used for destination advocacy. To talk through these possibilities, I'm happy to welcome to the show Jeanette Rausch, Executive Vice President of Marketing and Digital of NYC Tourism and Conventions. Brand new name, by the way. So Jeanette, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So just a little bit for the listeners, would you mind give a little bit of intro and background on yourself, as well as the background of NYC Tourism and Conventions?
Yes. So I have been with the company for 5 years. Actually, yesterday was my 5-year anniversary. So I think that means some extra PTO in my bank, which is very exciting.
Absolutely.
Right. Prior to joining NYC Tourism and Conventions, I was in the Broadway marketing world. So I began my career selling Broadway tickets, group tickets and FIT tickets to the travel trade. Did that for 8 years. Then I worked for a Broadway general manager, working on actually pricing tickets for shows. And then I worked for an ad agency called AKA NYC. And so we did, you know, the full marketing campaigns for shows like Come From Away, Matilda, Harry Potter and the Cursed Child. So, you know, as really the calling card for New York City, moving from Broadway, which is tourism marketing, to work, you know, on the DMO side, you know, was a pretty easy transition. And then in terms of New York City Tourism and Conventions, we just changed our name at our annual meeting this past March. Prior to that, we were NYC and Company, and we are the official destination marketing organization and convention and visitors bureau for the 5 boroughs of New York City.
Thank you so much. So again, I mentioned at the beginning of the show, I want to call ChatGPT probably the 2023 word of the year, but I want to ask you, what was a bit of your background to the introduction of just ChatGPT or AI and your initial impressions of it?
I am not a particularly tech forward person. You know, I didn't get into the metaverse. I didn't buy NFTs. I don't hold any crypto, but I was moving to New York City after college in 1997 when the internet became a thing. And so, you know, for listeners of a certain age, you kind of remember that moment of pre-internet and, oh, I wonder if this, I remember going to the computer lab on campus and there were 20 computers that you could use to log onto the internet. And you would, there were no search engines yet. So you would clip out articles from the newspaper that had, you know, website URLs that you could go to for finding a roommate in New York City. So, like, I remember that moment, and I remember how tangible that feeling of before the internet and after the internet was. And really, you know, in terms of the things that marketers have had to do, they've had to make that transition, right? From pre-internet, you know, doing offline media to, okay, what does it mean to advertise in a digital landscape? And then the cell phone came out. And I remember what that meant to, oh, now the ads have to be teeny tiny so they work on your iPhone. And then as that, you know, matured so that it's not just about making the ads smaller to fit on your iPhone, but all of the ways that we use mobile technology now. And I could just see when this came out, it was the day that it was released, my brother sent me a text with a link to OpenAI's website. And I looked at it and I wondered, why does this company, like, he didn't give me any context. So it was asking me for like my email address and a phone number. And I thought, well, that's too much. I don't know what this company does. And I kind of pushed it aside. And a few days later, I was traveling with some friends out to Jersey. We're sitting on the train together. And she's like, all right, Jeanette, have you seen this yet? Like, you, this is for you. We were going to sit on this train. You're going to be my ChatGPT friend. And we're going to figure this out together. As I'm like, oh, and you look at it and it doesn't really tell you how to use it. So I'm like, great, write an ad for New York City from the perspective of a pigeon. And then it did. And I thought that was the best thing I had ever seen. I'm like, all right, but whatever this magic box is, I am going to figure it out. And so I came to this with nothing more than what has become an obsession with, like, I feel like the future now lives in our pockets. And I want to figure out all of the secrets and tricks for it.
Can I ask, since you mentioned a trio of some incredible, I call them the buzzwords of Web 2.0, from crypto, and, you know, I can't blank on the other two, but what separated this in particular from those other ones you mentioned, but not really getting into?
I like NFTs. I just couldn't wrap my head. Like, I understand that, yes, the original file of something, there is only one original. I don't know. I just never really saw why I should care that much. Whereas this is predicting the future. Like, yes, this feels more like any sci-fi movie you ever watched growing up. And P.S., I wasn't particularly a sci-fi fan, but NFTs and crypto and the metaverse, they didn't fall out of the sky fully formed the way that this did. Like, this, things have been going on in the background for years. And if you didn't work in that space, you didn't see it happening. So we all saw it together on the same day. And that's really magical.
I mean, I think what makes it incredible about your story here is that I know now part of your responsibilities is educating your stakeholders on its possibilities, particularly your staff. How did you first approach this? Really, what we're talking, a bleeding edge technology for educating your staff, that is.
So when I first started working with ChatGPT, I played around with it a bit in December, and I decided over kind of the holiday break that I wanted to figure this out. This was a 2023 goal that I set. And I said, I'm going to learn something new I can do at work every single day of January with ChatGPT, and then I'm going to write about it on LinkedIn. So I set, you know, a kind of a bar for myself where I was going with this. And I didn't make it every single day. But by the time I got to the end of January, there were like 20 different interesting things that I was using it for. And everybody in my office, you know, they're all on LinkedIn, so they all saw what I was doing as well. So it started very small. It started just with, you know, my direct reports, showing them the things that I was doing, because it's really exciting. Like, if you learn nothing else, you know, in this podcast, it's just learn that I am really interested and excited about this topic. And I want other people to be excited about it. So it just started in a, you know, kind of brainstorming format with the people I work closely with. And then over time, people from other departments wanted to understand how it worked. Or I might use it for a project that I wasn't working on, maybe with my immediate team. And so whenever I did that, I made a point of, like, I've never hidden anything that I've ever used ChatGPT for. I'm sure to be very open that I am using it. I'm never being sneaky. And for me, that's part of the educational process. If people start to see, oh, I didn't just write one query and get one response back and send it to you. Like, okay, this was an iterative process. this is how I, you know, the steps that I took to get the answer that I just gave you. And so that's a way that you start to bring people on that path with you. And then it turned into, you know, like full staff training, working with our international offices, kind of just widely sharing the process that I've gone through to get to where I am now, and just encouraging other people to play with it and come along for the ride.
Absolutely. And one of the great things I like hearing you explain this, because it helps me pivot a little bit to ask you about your knowledge and experience with the tool as it relates to advocacy. So one of the specific topics I've heard you talk about is its ability to break down and summarize complex subject matters. Most destination professionals, they're either not lawyers, they're not political by trade. What are your thoughts on using it to understand potential legislation and or laws?
So I think it'd be really great for that, because ChatGPT can be a great teacher and it can also be a great explainer or translator. I think I saw something recently that said it's good for human to human translation or English to English translation. So, you know, I don't work in advocacy. You know, I don't read legislation on a regular basis, but I, you know, when I look at it, it's a little bit intimidating to me. You know, it's written in its own particular brand of legalese. So if I were to be putting together, you know, a campaign along this line, I'd take the legislation that, you know, we were discussing, copy and paste it into a blank prompt. And I would probably just start, like, let's say your destination has put new legislation in place around tour guides, and you need to understand what the implications might be for your membership or, you know, for the DMO or for your industry. So start there, paste it in and say, what, as the tourism board for this destination, what should I be concerned about? What could be some potential implications of this legislation? Or even, can you explain this to me like I'm 15 years old? Like ChatGPT will meet you where you are at with your level of understanding, and it can write for you at that level. And you can go on to ask specific questions around, what does this mean for my destination? How could my destination use this to drive, you know, more tourism or to engage better with my local community, right? So all of these things are available once you understand what the legislation is.
So in that same vein, obviously, if your destination is potentially under a threat of unwelcoming legislation or a political flashpoint, and if you want to use it to explain it as a 15-year-old, how could the tool be used to analyze perception and recourse in terms of a plan to address it?
ChatGPT is built on an algorithm. So like an algorithm is just a form of structure. So ChatGPT is always going to be looking for structure when it is responding to a prompt or a query. And one terrific structure to work with it is arguments and counterarguments. So if I were putting something together, like I would just sit down for 2 hours and ask it questions around, well, what are the things I should be thinking about? What are the ways that this would be damaging? How could I overcome that second, you know, obstacle that you just shared with me? So you can really go down a long path of going back and forth. If you don't have a counter argument to something that it suggests, it will suggest a different counter argument for you to think of. So that's where the iterative process is really useful. And then in terms of like looking at sentiment, there's already, if you're doing any kind of survey work, a lot of survey tools now have AI-based sentiment analysis built in. And if they don't, you could upload it to ChatGPT. You could use Code Interpreter to find out the sentiment of, you know, write-in responses to a survey, or, you know, write-in responses on your social media accounts.
Now, switching gears just ever so slightly, I actually want to talk a bit about conventions and business events. I've heard you mention applications around analyzing the pipeline, in particular, the lost business or actually your lead pacing for your destination organization. Would you mind explaining a little bit about that and how you've implemented that as part of your, really, you're talking your sales strategy here?
So this has been, for me, the most exciting piece of ChatGPT is its ability to analyze data. And so there's two ways you can do it in the tool now. If you have a free account, you can ask it for assistance in using Microsoft Excel. So if you're not in Excel all the time, you will find that it is a little tricky to, get it to do sometimes exactly what you want it to do. If you're not using pivot tables a lot, it can be challenging to remember exactly how to set that up. With ChatGPT, you can take the first 20 rows of data that you're working with, paste it into ChatGPT, and you can start as high level as you want. You could say, what is this spreadsheet and what kind of information is contained in it? So you don't even need to instruct it that this is a report of lost leads for New York City's, convention sales team. It will be able to tell that from the data that you paste in. And then you can say, what kind of information can I learn from this spreadsheet? Or if you already know you want to calculate, what is the typical amount of time or the average amount of time, by quarter going back the last 10 years between a lead being submitted and or RFP being submitted and, an event happening. And it will tell you exactly which formulas to paste in which rows in order to find the answer to that question, which I have found to be really phenomenal. And then ChatGPT one-upped themselves, and about a week ago, they released Code Interpreter for everybody who has a paid account with ChatGPT. So for $20 a month, you can actually upload a spreadsheet into ChatGPT and do everything I just said, right? Like, what is this spreadsheet? What could I learn from it? Except now it's doing the work for you. So it will use, I think it's Python. It's definitely Python to analyze all of the data in this spreadsheet. It will append your table with whatever additional columns need to be there. And then it can say, yes, I see that your lead volume is definitely, increasing over time. And I can see that there is a positive correlation between these two different categories. And I can see that the amount of time, your lead time has been steadily decreasing over the last 10 years or whatever the case may be. So just, and it's instant, and you don't need to know anything about correlations or, working with statistics. It will do all of it for you. And so I think we are just barely starting to scratch the surface about what's available with working with data with this tool.
I'm just curious, how did you stumble upon that particular application? I'm just curious, your convention sales staff come to you and said, hey, I have this idea, or did you actually think of it? Saying, well, we have this huge amounts of data with our, our CRM and our lead volume. What can I do with this?
Yeah, I went to them. I wanted just to start understanding a little bit more about which types of markets the leads were coming from. And what was kind of the length of that lead time? Because that's going to affect the, the media campaigns that we run for this market. So I went to them and said, what's involved with getting this information out of our CRM so that we can work with it. So they gave me all of the spreadsheets, and then I let them kind of waste away in an email folder for a couple of months. And then as I started understanding what the data abilities were of this tool, that's when I thought, oh, I should take this information and bring it over here and see what can be done with it. So when I first started the project, I wasn't even thinking about ChatGPT.
Interesting. Obviously, I want to round out a bit of the future talk. Obviously, you and your organization have dove headfirst into using the tool for your workflows, but just kind of hear a little bit of your idea of the philosophy and the adoption of the tool. Obviously, the genie is sort of out and really can't put back in the bottle here. What are really your thoughts on people's fears and concerns and also hopes for the tool itself?
So the New York Times posted an article yesterday where somebody was hosting a meetup for people who work in advertising about their thoughts on artificial intelligence. And so somebody was quoted in this article of saying, it doesn't really matter if you are fearful or not. Like, these tools are here. So what are we to do? We can stand around and not do anything, or we can learn how to apply them. So that is my philosophy when it comes to working with this. Like, I do understand that people have a lot of trepidation around this, but it's not like we can't turn back the clock. They're here, they're not going away. And within the course of a year, these tools and this technology is going to be baked into all of the tools that we use every day. So you probably can right now sit back and say, I don't see how, this would apply to my job, or you could say there's a learning curve to it. The processes that I have in place are fine now. I don't want to go down this road. But that's not going to slow down Microsoft from incorporating, you know, GPT into Microsoft Office Suite. Like, it's already being incorporated into the entire Google Office Suite. So it's there whether or not you believe in it or like it or want to support it. So I'm finding that the best way to approach it is to say, I want to understand how this works so that when it starts being incorporated into every single SaaS product, you know, that exists, I will see what things kind of, like, you can make that connection between, oh, that's something that generative AI is putting in here. Or maybe I'm going to fact check, you know, this output from this tool that I'm using, because one of the things that ChatGPT is not good at is telling the truth. You know, it's a large language model. It's not a large knowledge model. So it is just simply stringing together words in a sentence. It's predicting what word is going to come next. And because of that, it's not looking up Wikipedia or going, you know, to check that, you know, piece of legal writing to make sure that it actually matches up with the truth. It's just looking for something that looks like the truth. So you want to use it for ideas, but you wouldn't necessarily use it instead of Wikipedia or instead even of, you know, Googling something in many cases. So when you understand the things that it's really good at and the things that it shouldn't be trusted for, I think that increases our power when it comes to seeing it kind of everywhere in the universe.
Well said. On the note about it, its adoption into our everyday lives, I'm just curious, what are your hopes and kind of future features of this tool as it relates to destination promotion, what we do day in, day out?
I think the data piece is going to become really the most interesting and the most important part of ChatGPT. So people talk about it a great deal in terms of writing. There is a lot of hand-wringing that this could replace travel agents, or that this could replace travel writers, or that it could replace, you know, your own content creation team. I am less worried about that. I think people bring unique perspectives to that type of work, that just because ChatGPT can put words in sentences, it's not always going to be the absolute best words in the absolute best order, right? That's still something that people excel at. But what people, you know, like, there are many more great writers than there are people who are great at working with data. And I know, I feel confident that there's a lot of destination marketing organizations who wish that they could have an extra team of data analysts by their side. And I think we are very close to a place, and I've already started testing this, actually, again, for our convention sales team. Like, let's take all of the metrics from our, you know, latest paid media campaign, and again, upload it into Code Interpreter. What can you tell me about this campaign? Who are the most, you know, successful, you know, partners that we worked with? And really start to understand marketing metrics in plain English. And I think that's really valuable. I don't want marketing metrics to be only something that a few people at New York City Tourism care about. Like, I want it to be really interesting and important and engaging to everyone. And what makes numbers engaging is the story that you tell as a result of knowing them. And I think that that is going to be where ChatGPT can really bridge a gap for marketers and make that kind of data available to the whole organization.
Jenna, thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing your expertise. Where can folks learn more about some of your work you're posting and also learn more about New York City?
Learn about New York City at our website, nyctourism.com. And then if you follow me on LinkedIn, I write about AI and New York City all the time. And it's just /Jeanette Rausch at LinkedIn.
Wonderful. Thank you again. So thank you again for joining myself, Andreas Weisenborn, and Jeanette Rausch on this month's episode of The Architects of Destination Advocacy. Please make sure to subscribe within your podcast listening service to always catch the latest episode. To learn more about the work we do, please make sure to subscribe to our newsletter at destinationsinternational.org or checking out our content throughout the advocacy section at the website or speaking at one of our upcoming events. Thank you, and we'll talk soon.